Welcome to the Be Well Buzz podcast, your number one weekly source for natural health and wellness.
Hi, everyone. It's Larry and Oksana with another Be Well Buzz podcast. Today, we're excited to have our good friend Wade Lightheart here. He's an author whose books have appeared in over 80 countries. He's also a speaker and a three-time Canadian natural bodybuilding champion. And he's also one of the world's premier authorities on natural nutrition and training methods. Wade is sought out by athletes and high-performance-oriented individuals worldwide for his advice on how to optimize their health and fitness levels.
He has dedicated his life to helping others achieve physical, mental, and spiritual balance through nutrition, health, and fitness, coaching thousands of individuals from all walks of life on how to transform their health and improve their lives by adopting his easy-to-follow, awesome health philosophy, which I really want to know more about. Welcome, Wade.
Hey, great to be here, guys.
Yeah, we're going to dive into some amazing stuff. But before we do, I'd love to hear your story.
Well, it started out rather plain and boring, like most people. You know, I was just a kid growing up in Canada in a very rural area. And then three things happened to me at the age of 15 that really kind of set the course of my life. And that was one, my family moved to a very remote area. It was 5 miles to my nearest neighbor. So I lived in pristine settings at this, private resort. My parents were the caretakers, so I spent a lot of time in reflection and a lot of time in nature. Second, my sister at that time was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, a form of lymphatic cancer, and then I kind of watched her go through the whole, medical model of treatment with, radiation, chemotherapy, catheters, bone marrow, all that stuff before she died. So that made a big, big impression on me psychologically, and that, our health isn't guaranteed. And I sought out ways to improve mine or to find how to optimize mine and prevent that. And then the third thing that happened was I was given a bodybuilding magazine from my sister at the same time. And I thought that being healthy was about building up these muscles, and so not wanting to go the route that she was in, I decided that if I could build up my musculature, I thought that would be healthy. And the reality was that wasn't necessarily true, but it set me in the right direction through, studying exercise physiology at university. And then I found that, university education provided a wonderful base, but it was a lot of information. There was not really any set philosophy. And so what I did is I started seeking out people who were performing outstanding levels of health or performance. And then I would mentor under them. It's kind of the tried and true methodology throughout history. If this person can produce a great result, well, then obviously let me learn everything that they learned and then go to the next one and the next one. And then I did one thing that was maybe unique. And that was, in my education system, we were kind of taught to find the flaw in everything. And, you try and reduce it down to what's the flaw, or find out what's not true or not accurate. But what I looked at is when I started looking at all these different mentors and people that, were authorities or producing great results, I started to look for what was the common threads that each one of these people had arrived to the conclusions, because the likelihood of that being successful was significantly higher. And that's how eventually, I went up and did all my bodybuilding contests and eventually ended up being at the Mr. Universe contest. But despite learning all that information, I still hadn't figured it out, because after the Mr. Universe contest in 2003, I gained 42 pounds of fat and water in 11 weeks. And,
wow.
Yeah. Wow. Full experience. I thought, gee whiz, how is it that best coach in the world, I've got this awesome discipline, I'm super fit by every standard, and then somehow I go from what's the pinnacle of physical development to, Mr. Universe to Mr. Marshmallow in just 11 weeks. And fortunately, I met a wonderful doctor who started teaching me. He said, well, Wade, you know how to build the outside of the body, but you need to learn how to build the body from the inside out. And he started teaching me about the principles of digestive health and elimination health and and that it's not what you eat, it's what you assimilate, and it's not the toxins, it's what you can get out of the system. And I started learning under that and applying it, and then 4 years later came back to another bodybuilding contest, went to the World Championships again, was successfully competed, did better, and felt better, which was the most important part. I felt great, and at that point I was comfortable that I had developed a philosophy that was applicable to just about anyone who was looking for kind of that high-end, healthy, high-performance model without using chemicals, drugs, and all those sorts of things, whether they were prescribed or outside of that range. And then I started teaching en masse and, developed the Awesome Health System as a way to, as people to integrate it, and it's been going ever since.
That's an amazing story, and I always find it interesting how like these painful scenarios put us on a path to discovery. And it's awesome that you've actually, you know, you're walking the talk. It's not just that you jumped into some books, but you've have experiential philosophies that you've come up with based on, you know, trial and error. And, you know, obviously you've hit certain benchmarks that are amazing, and then had some setbacks that actually, you know, kind of calibrated things even more. So kudos to you for doing that. Mm-hmm. How's your sister these days?
Well, she died. She died. Four years after. Like, I wanted to go through that model. Uh-huh. She was 8 when she was diagnosed. Died when she was 22. And, being so close to that at such a young age, you start to realize that, you know, for me, it was like, well, no disrespect to the medical model, but I couldn't understand, and this seems almost naive, but almost, I think, on one level, really objective. And I thought, how is it that someone is getting sick, more sick from the treatment than, you know, if I want to be healthy, I want to more things to make me healthy. I don't want to put things that's going to make me sick. And that's what I noticed with a lot of the treatments, that her condition seemed to get worse instead of better. And I don't fully understand that model, or I don't claim to be a doctor or a medical advisor, but just from a pure realistic, I thought, well, you can't have enough sickness to be health. You know, you can't have enough poverty to be wealthy. You can't have no love to feel more love. You keep expanding that which what you want. And so from there, that kind of led me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty clear on what's going on. I mean, we live in a business world, right? And there's no money in the cure, and we need to perpetuate illness so you can continue taking different drugs and going through different treatments. You know, there's ways to help things, you know, outside of our traditional system, but it requires a certain level of strength to go beyond it, because there's so much noise and confusion, and people don't realize that you know, the system is built around profit, and it creates danger.
Exactly. And I mean, I can totally relate. I saw my mom also who passed away from cancer last year. I mean, the more you go the traditional route, literally the sicker they become, and it's so hard to watch that, you know, especially when you surround it and you are in a field of health and helping people and watching the closest people to you pass just because of the way the medical system is set up. It's crazy, it's sad, and it's frustrating. And that's why we always love, you know, this is why we are on this path also, to find the better solutions, empower people, take health into their own hands and do what's right for them. Right.
Yeah. And it's important to use discernment, because we're not saying all allopathic medicine is bad. We're saying that there's certain motivational factors that lead to profit, that make, you know, certain practices lean towards the dollar rather than the
solution.
Cure.
Yeah.
Well, and it comes back to also people taking personal responsibility for their health. And, you know, it's one of the things, and I consult with a lot of people who have severe illness. And I always share with them, and well, the Surgeon General says that most of the illnesses that kill people are lifestyle related. So even if you do go through the allopathic model of treatment, you still have to address the lifestyle issues that got you to that place in the first place. So at the end of the day, everybody needs to kind of embrace what you guys embrace, and that is, how do you have the healthiest lifestyle possible? What are the things that you need to do, and how do you integrate those in your life in a simple and eloquent manner on a daily basis?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it comes down to. Whether you've been sick, or whether you don't want to be sick, or whether you just want to live life at the highest level, eventually you come to that conclusion with a little bit of rational thought.
Yeah, and it's much better to come to that conclusion earlier in life than deal with a bunch of other stuff, you know, later. So
I want to hear about this formula that you put together. It's literally an awesome formula, which is an acronym.
I love the name.
Yeah, I'd love for you to go through that that acronym of awesome and what that formula is.
Yeah, thanks. All right, well, how I came to it, I started because of all the confusion out there, like what diet to follow and this and that and the other thing. And I was like, okay, well, based on everything that we know about how the cell functions, what are the most essential components that the cell, the individual cell, are made up of 100 trillion cells or whatever. No one knows the exact number, but let's just say 100 trillion. How do we discern what is the most important thing? So if I'm a person that wants to get healthy, where do I put my time, energy, and resources for best effect? And in what order and what sequence? So that's where I came up with this blueprint to kind of like, because I found so many people by the time they got to me were so filled up with conflicting ideas, or they tried this and they tried that and the other thing. And really they just had a kind of a mixed bag of maybes. And so what I wanted to do is go back to, what does a cell need to function? And so first and foremost, before I started diet, I said, well, where does a cell get its energy? Well, it gets its energy originally from oxygen. We consume about 40 kilos or 88 pounds of oxygen a day, or air, because it's a component, not just oxygen. Mm-hmm. So I started the philosophy out with air, because you could go, a month without eating food. I mean, it wouldn't feel good, but you're probably pretty hungry, but you can survive.
Right.
And you can go weeks without water, but you can't go very long without air. So that's obviously the number one component. And there's not a lot of money in air technology, but I do believe that everybody can benefit some deep breathing practice.
Yes, absolutely.
So we advocate that. Also, a lot of people like to use air purifiers in the sort, especially if you're in cities that have a high pollution rate or toxic chemicals. Because, I mean, the reality is, we're being exposed to more toxins than ever in the history of mankind. So we really can't control all those environmental factors. We've got to increase our ability to manage the toxins that we're ingesting by just being on the planet at this time. And that's where all the technology comes in, or the things that will enhance our ability to process these things. But deep breathing is a big thing, whether a person's doing Tai Chi or whether they're doing meditation or yoga or martial arts or even a respiratory therapist, if you're in the allopathic model. I mean, there's lots of information and scientific studies showing the effects on deep, proper breathing. And of course, we sit now so often that we compress our ability to actually deeply inhale. So relearning how to breathe, I think, is a critical factor of health, and it's very cost effective.
Yeah, that is huge.
So yeah, doing the deep belly breathing, which I was told that sometimes I'm not doing a really good job at it. So it kind of seems like, we're all breathing all the time, right? But breathing properly and relearning, as you said, it's number one.
And consciousness follows breath. So if you notice, if you're in fight or flight, your breath is shallow. And most of us are walking through the day in this state of stress beta waves instead of that relaxed in the zone alpha wave state. And those beta waves are expressed by shallow breath, and very important.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where the A comes from in awesome. And the next part would be W, which is water. And of course, for water is just such a vast, vast topic. I refer oftentimes to, there's a great documentary called Water, the Great Mystery. It's like a collection of the top water researchers.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing documentary.
And the guy's been studying, the head researcher's been studying water for like 30, 40 years, and he comes up and says, well, we don't know that much about water, right? It's kind of a thing. But what I can say is I do believe it's important to have the cleanest possible water that you can consume, and you need to consume enough of it every single day. Mm-hmm. And there's a variety of, there's literally hundreds of technologies out there that people are utilizing, not only just to clean the water. I think cleaning the water is only one step in, you know, obviously having clean drinking water, but there's so many other things that you can do to water to utilize it and mm-hmm. use it for various things, whether it's from disinfecting things to optimizing oxygen consumption at a cellular level. You can do this with various types of water. And there's,
do you vortex your water?
Well, I would say I've done just about everything you could possibly imagine in the water world. I think I've investigated 150 different technologies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I like to, you know, I try and drink filtered water, spring water, mm-hmm. and then I use ionized water as well. So those are the ones that I use most often.
Awesome. Yeah. Yep. We spend an incredible amount of water, money on water per month. We get it delivered in glass bottles.
Yeah, glass, well, that's spring kind of water. Yeah.
I avoid plastic bottled water. That's the one thing. There's a great documentary, CBC documentary, called The Disappearing Mail. And it was the first government-approved documentary, or put out by a government agency, which demonstrates the devastating effects that plastics are having on male populations from tadpoles to humans, with xenoestrogens and phytoestrogen, things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, great documentary. So yeah, stay away from plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads us on to exercise. And when I look at exercise, I look at, if you take a person and you strap them to the bed, and you witness anybody that goes into a hospital situation that they're immobilized for any reason, you see a rapid decline in their physicality, in the function of their organs, the function of their brain, the function of elimination, everything. So, I mean, people lose incredible amounts of muscle mass very, very shortly with you know, being bedridden even for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that on some level, the cells of the body require physical movement. When there's a lot of different theories out there, and there's a lot of different types of exercise. But what I look at is the cell performing the functions that you love? And for exercise, the best exercise is to do what you love, number one. But it needs to be vigorous, and it needs to be frequent. That's what I know. Whether you fall into the camp of aerobic, you're kind of a marathon-oriented or hiker, that type of thing, or you're a muscle guy like me that likes to get in the gym and throw weights around and, you know, unleash my inner animal. It's a safe place to do that. or for a lot of people, I just put them on a mini trampoline every day, because it's probably the most efficient way to exercise every single cell in the body
mm-hmm.
relatively quickly. And that produces extraordinary results, just 10 or 15 minutes a day. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Consistency is the key for sure here.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I find that no matter what state I'm in, if I'm like in a state of stress, I could, you know, have a nice 1 hour intense workout. I leave that gym and I'm feeling no more stress. I'm feeling it's like, oh, that's what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people actually, you know, they say, I don't have time to exercise or whatever. But again, once you go into that beta state, which so many people are locked into from, you know, the evolution of electronics and digital information and stuff, when you go to that at the gym and you just, you know, work yourself out physically, and you're fatigued, you kind of just get into that relaxed alpha state. And it's amazing how the solution to challenges, though, seemed overwhelming an hour before, just kind of resolve themselves relatively easily.
Yeah, it seems to trigger that part of the mind that was like dormant and inaccessible, and all of a sudden you have a good workout and it just turns on.
And it's good to always move that body, move the energy around.
Mm.
Absolutely. And the next level, I guess, so the first three, in my opinion, or my observation over, you know, the years and years of coaching a lot of people, those three are just non-negotiable.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever your diet philosophy, whatever your age group, whatever, those you need to do those three things, or you're headed for a disaster. And it's just a matter of time. So those are the three things that are non-negotiable. The next level we go is kind of the bridge between the two points, which is sunlight. And I look at nutrition a little bit differently than some people, as you know, because I have a passion for physics And, you know, all the great physicists says that everything that you see is actually just some form of condensed light. And, you know, you get into frequency and vibration. So for me, I look at, number one, how much light can I get in my life? And, of course, I live in, you know, part of the year I live in nice, warm, tropical climates like, you know, Panama and Bali and Sedona, you know, places that have a lot of sun, which I really enjoy. And I notice various differences in my biochemistry when I take in a lot of light. Number two is I try to consume most of the foods that I eat as close to light as possible. So plants convert a light, you know, through a chemical process, photosynthesis, into energy that we can utilize. And so I like to consume lots of fresh fruits, vegetables, things like that in a light form. And I also look at what I ingest both mentally and spiritually. So, for example, we use this in our languaging. So, for example, if someone has a lot of energy or is a positive person, they tend to be light and buoyant. And if they're sad or depressed or angry, they're kind of be like, you know, dark. And we use these in describing people. And so I pay attention to what people say, and I try and ingest as much light, happiness, and joy into my life. And if I get something that's making me feel off, then I pay attention to it and try and eliminate it from my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, there's so much stress in our life, and there's always something that needs to be done, handled, taken care of, family, friends, work, whatever. But just taking, you know, we try always to do at least once a week, you know, go out to a comedy show or something, just doing something purely for joy purposes. Yeah. Laugh it out, walk it out, you know, talk it out. Whatever gives you, brings you that internal mental and spiritual peace.
Yeah, but going back to sunshine, you know, there's a big vitamin D deficiency that's happening because there's so many people that are indoors that aren't getting that. And because of that vitamin D deficiency there, we're finding that there's so many illnesses that are coming in into play because of that. So getting out in the sun, even if it's, you know, like a half hour walk, getting some fresh air and walking around and getting that sunlight is so critical.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people have to look at, humanity has spent most of its time outdoors and just until the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. Outdoors, it's on an average day, it's 100,000 candlelight of power. And, you know, in your house, it might be 100 watt bulbs. So that's a significant difference. Mm-hmm. in the amount of light reaching you. And of course, a light bulb doesn't have the full spectrum of and variety of rays that the body needs to function. So yeah, getting out in sunshine is essential. And I really noticed that, you know, switching from a place like being in a warm climate, like say Arizona, and how much light you get there versus how I come to Vancouver, which tends to be cloudy a lot. And, you know, you start to see a biochemical change. And I've seen, for example, for me, changes as much as 20% in testosterone levels. Wow. which is There's nothing I've seen that can alter testosterone that much in natural world, but sunshine really does make a big difference.
Yeah.
So moving on from there, we kind of get into, so this is where kind of like the world that we both live in, I think, and that is what I call optimizers. So with optimizers, what I look at is the things that maybe people can live without or function on marginal levels, but for myself, I was looking at living at life at the highest level. How could I be as healthy as possible? How could I perform at the highest levels? Because that's what I'm about, and that's what my athletes and people who executives who are attracted to me, that's what they want to live. They want to get as much out of life as possible. So again, I looked at what are the most essential components based on what the body does need to assimilate and what are the factors that are involved in that. So that goes down to, and I have a quick sequence, it's enzymes, probiotics, the only things that do work in the body, and then it goes to minerals, because you need enzymes to get your minerals. You get minerals to get your vitamins, essential amino acids, essential fatty acids, and then herbs kind of go into a specialized category because most herbs can be used or utilized for a variety of different mechanisms in the body. So that's a whole science of its own. So those are the things that I have found that can enhance almost anybody's nutritional profile or their diet or their health and vitality. And of course, can be as specific as you want based on testing that's now available, accelerates the targeting, if you will.
So would those things be in supplement form, or can we get them from food?
Well, you certainly can get, particularly with minerals and vitamins, you can certainly get those inside your food, although I have never found anybody that was perfect on all their minerals and vitamins, regardless of the diet that they took. Essential amino acids and essential fatty acids, I think people need to pay more attention to those, particularly essential fatty acids. I know that's an area that you guys are really into, so it's something that, based on the toxicity levels of the world, that's a big factor. But enzymes and probiotics, that's a huge one. Herbs, of course, now I think it's easier to get great herbs than ever before. You get a high-quality company now because of distribution. You can access a lot of things, and there's a lot of information. There's some wonderful products out there. But when it comes to enzymes and probiotics, these are the two things that I think people have failed to grasp or understand. I know when I took nutrition in university and exercise physiology, and even as a high-performance guy, before I had my blow up, I didn't understand the enzyme and probiotic equation. And that's what really spelled disaster for me. And set me up for that failure. And I see it happening over and over with people with digestive health, gas, bloating, eliminative problems, inability to assimilate essential nutrients, whether it be vitamins, minerals, amino acids, or fatty acids, or the not able to process carbohydrates in a way where they become so carbohydrate sensitive or develop diabetes and these type of things. It all comes down to digestive health. And now I think you're starting to see the trend before people realizing, hey, we need enzymes and probiotics, because up until 40 years ago, 40, 50 years ago, we started using mass amounts of herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides on food. And those things interrupt enzymatic activity in living organisms. That's how they kill the bugs. And the question is, well, how much of that do I need to ingest before it's doing damage to me? Secondary is we developed antibiotics. When antibiotics have saved millions and millions of lives, and many of us are here because of it. However, the overprescription of it has created super bacterias that are now resistant to antibiotics. And because of this kind of sterilization of society, I believe that a lot of people's immune system, because probiotics are good bacteria, are paramount in good immune system and digestive function. And if you're living in this ultra antiseptic world, if you will, or antibacterial world, most of these mechanisms or drugs or chemicals, they make no distinction between good bacteria or bad bacteria. And so over time, this compromises digestive health, and that leads to a variety of conditions, everything from physiological basic absorption and elimination to all the way up to psychological conditions or the inability to control cravings or psychological challenges. So we're seeing that on mass, and boy, enzymes and probiotics are a real answer. And they did a lot for me, and they did a lot for my clients.
Totally agree with you. I mean, the gut health is, the number one should be on everyone's priority list. This is where everything begins. You know, it's why I call it the second brain. This is where your immune system is. This is where, feel-good hormones are communicating with your brain to be released. I mean, there's just so much writing on taking care of your gut that you just cannot ignore it.
I'd like to dive a little bit deeper on the enzymes and probiotics, because our body naturally creates enzymes, and we have natural probiotics within our gut. So let's dive into enzymes a little bit. I want to get a better understanding of what they do, right? So for people that don't understand, why do we need to take an enzyme? What is it? What is the function of an enzyme?
That's great. An enzyme is a catalyst involved in virtually every single biochemical function in your body. So everything from thinking to blinking requires an enzyme. So an enzyme is a catalyst. Basically, it'll take one thing that's doing one function and turn it into another. It'll take one a chemical and break it into something else, or it will add something to a nutrient or a product in your body and convert it into something else. So if you're doing, whether it's converting amino acids, let's say, or protein into amino acids, requires an enzyme. to create a polypeptide chain in your brain that keeps your mood happy requires an enzyme. To process a chemical inside your liver requires an enzyme. And enzymes are markers in a lot of in a variety of conditions. And virtually every big biochemical company in the world uses forms of enzymes, and you know, right up to the forestry industry or into biochemistry or chemicalization. But what's interesting is the human body is the ultimate lab of enzymes. Now, the interesting thing is this. If you trace back, probably one of the greatest pioneers in enzyme understanding was a guy by the name of Dr. Edward Howe. And I'll refer to his book, Enzyme Nutrition and Food Enzymes for Health and Longevity, are two of the books that he wrote. And what he discovered, first there was some research, and I don't know if you guys have heard of this. You must have heard of the Pottinger's Cat Study.
What is that?
The Pottinger's Cats.
Actually, no. Right. What is that?
Well, there was this famous doctor by the name of Pottinger, and he started studying cats, and he started to realize that the food chemistry, this is back in the 30s, I believe, was starting to go into more processed cooked foods or foods that didn't have enzymes present in it. So an enzyme gets destroyed at approximately 114 degrees. You go beyond that, so any cooked food is enzymeless. And if it's been sprayed or chemicalized or irradiated, the enzymes are also gone. So a lot of transportation. But what he noticed is that if he took all the enzymes out of the diet of a cat, so a cat normally eats raw food. It eats it, you know, it catches a mice and eats it or whatever, and it consumes the enzyme. That's universal throughout all of the animal kingdom, whether it's a snake eating a chicken, whether it's a cow eating grass, whether it's a shark eating a seal. When you consume another organism, you absorb all of the enzymes. Same thing as if you eat an orange or an apple, you get all the enzymes present in that in your body. Mm-hmm. But what happened is started eating our food, and a lot of our food became processed, which required more enzymes. So he said, well, what would happen to people if they didn't eat any enzymes? So he did an experiment on these cats, and he kept them on a completely enzyme-deficient diet. And what was interesting is the cats died sooner. They also started to exhibit by third generation the inability to procreate, strange sociological behavior, and genetic mutations.
Wow.
And so he started, enzymes seem to be the key component to the life force in the body and longevity of the body. Well, that research was then taken by Dr. Howell, and he started doing experiments on a variety of different animal species, and he replicated virtually the same thing in every single species, dogs, cats, rabbits, you name it. It kind of goes into details in the book. And they all ended up in the same situation that Pottinger's cats have. Now, Dr. Howell determined that, and this was around in the late 1940s, that the enzymatic capacity of an individual at 40 years old was somewhere around 30% of what you had when you were at born. So he called this enzyme bank account, or the enzyme capacity of an organism, which was its ability to do biochemical work inside the body. And so that became his standard. And so he started developing a variety of enzymes to be utilized in order to preserve this enzyme pool, if you will, or even perhaps add to it. And so there is some controversy about that in some circles. But the reality is his information started to funnel into, and I think it was one of the precursors to the raw food movement. A lot of people got into raw food because they thought, well, the enzymes are present in the food. Well, that may or may not be true, depending on where it was grown or how it was transported. But at the end of the day, if you only consume raw foods, you still aren't able to increase your enzyme bank account. So if you've had less than a perfect diet by the age of 30, 40, 50, well, guess what? Whatever your enzyme pool is, that's all you've got to play with, and it's a diminishing return.
And isn't it true that there's certain enzymes that break down, like if you're ingesting meat, it breaks down meat, and it also breaks down certain bacteria. And if you're eating only raw food, then your body stops producing that particular enzyme because it doesn't see meat inside your body, so it doesn't see the need to produce that enzyme to break it down, and that goes away. But that enzyme also
it's like a guard dog.
It also breaks down certain bacteria. So if you're not getting certain enzymes in, you could potentially get into trouble.
Well, I've noticed an interesting phenomenon inside that community. Of course, I was 100% raw foodie for several years and competed on it because I wanted to find a way to be able to compete athletically on a raw food diet. But and one of the ways I did that was supplementing my diet with enzymes. And some people in the raw food community would kind of poo-pooed it, but it was very effective for me because I recognize what you just said is that, well, I want to make sure that I have enough enzymes present from an external source so that I'm not tapping into my own ability to manufacture my own enzymes. Because I always say there's the turkey dinner syndrome. And we've all had going back in time, we go to the Thanksgiving dinner that, you know, everybody has the big meal and they have two or three plates, and then, you know, everybody kind of makes a dive for the living room couch, and some people are lying on the floor, and you know, your drool's coming out of your mouth, and everybody passes out. Well, why is that? Well, all of the blood goes to your digestive system, and all the enzymes that you're using to run your brain and run other functions are now going to deal with this massive meal that you've had. And that's a good example of that. People don't have enough enzymes to manage the dietary. So people that are having fatigue and tiredness and things like that are usually not getting enough enzymes in their food, or their bank account is, you know, in a deficit that they're not able. And I believe that that's what contributes to organ degeneration as well. So what looks like, this is a lot of research that Howell talked about, is that what shows up as a liver dysfunction in someone else or a lung function in someone else can be traced to, or a skin disorder can be traced to, a specific enzymatic pathway. And I've seen evidence of this in my own work. So for example, people that suffer from depression tend not to do very well with proteolytic enzymes. They're not able to make the absorb key amino acids, like you were saying, to digest certain proteins inside the body. And I believe that the body will take that catalyst enzyme and convert it to a protease-based enzymatic activity. Same thing I would notice people with skin conditions, you know, like eczema or that sort of thing. They didn't have an ability to utilize, or they didn't have enough lipase presence, which digests fats. And then other people that would have sensitivity to sugar and carbohydrates usually had a low amount of amylase. And we all know about people that can't handle milk because of a lactase deficiency. So I just took the lactase deficiency, applied it to other things, and then it started giving my clients these various enzymes, and they would notice improvements in the condition that they have. Now, I don't know, you know, a lot of people would say, well, that's, you know, quackery, or that's it. But the reality is, you know, you tell the person with eczema that it goes away after 3 months of doing enzymes and they've had it all their life, or the person that's been depressed all the time, finally they don't feel that they're depressed anymore, or the person that was, you know, their blood sugar was sky high and it started to get under normal when they started using enzymes. I mean, the evidence becomes overwhelmingly, you know, just certain. It's like, okay, these things actually do work, even if we don't understand all of the potential applications of enzymes. Because there's over 3,000 enzymes inside the body.
That is fascinating. So would you recommend that someone do a particular test to see if they're deficient, or would you recommend that everyone take an enzyme no matter what?
I'm a big believer that everyone can benefit from enzymes. Now, I will say this. There are certain enzymatic formulations that are going to be more effective for given individuals than others. And there's also the quality of the enzyme supplementation, as well as what's the pH range that it has, the dosage that it has, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We can kind of go, you know, deeper into all those things. But those are the biggest thing I notice for most people, because in North America, we have a high consumption of protein and amino acids, or not really protein, but we got to convert to amino acids. I find the biggest factor is proteolytic enzymes. I find those are the ones that people get the most benefit from. And interesting enough, they're the most expensive enzymes to create. So the formulations that tend to be on the higher price side usually are focusing on protease. And the ones that are on the cheaper side are focusing on amylase, which is the most inexpensive to produce. So that's kind of an interesting factoid just from the construction of these factors.
Yeah, and we'll talk about different supplements and what you recommend later on. Let's talk about probiotics. And do enzymes influence probiotics, or is that a separate?
They work in tandem, especially when you're looking in the digestive health. First and foremost, the only thing that actually does work in the body is enzymes and probiotics. Enzymes and probiotics are the workforce of the body. So, you know, as a nutritionist, we were taught primarily to focus on, proteins, carbohydrates, fats, amino acids, essential fatty acids and vitamins and minerals and these type of things. And then eventually a variety of nutritional supplements, whether it be herbs or else or other things. But all those things are well and fine, but in order to get them into the body, they're going to require, number one, an enzyme, and number two, a probiotic to convert that into something utilizable by the cells of our body. And inside our digestive tract, we have approximately 500 different species of bacteria. 10 of them, or 10%, are good, 10% are bad, and 80% are opportunists. So when you look at that, that's some heavy numbers, and there's more bacteria in our bodies than we do have cells in the body. So, it becomes a very interesting esoteric idea. Are we really just mushrooms for the bacteria, or, what is that relation?
Exactly. and again, it depends, what you eat, what you put in your body. Those opportunistic guys, they can go either way.
Exactly. And I think most people have experienced that. For example, you go on a trip to a foreign country where there may be bacteria, different types of bacteria present, or a different type of diet that you're not used to consuming. And now that allows a change in that 10-80-10. So there could be the proliferation of a bacteria present, or there could be the ingestion of a bacteria that you don't have a management system for. And that causes changes in your health, whether it's diarrhea or sickness or bloating or swelling, or people gain a lot of weight suddenly or lose a lot of weight suddenly. Oftentimes it has to do with a change in these bacterial cultures. And, we kind of got this whole evil idea that all bacteria was evil with the concept of pasteurization and antibiotics and that sort of thing. But if you go back to the historical aspects of Pasteur and Beauchamp, Beauchamp was another scientist that existed in the lab of Pasteur, and he said, well, it's not the enemy, it's the terrain. And what he was trying to illustrate is that if you can get control of your biological terrain, particularly inside your digestive system, that it didn't matter what the foreign invader was, you would be able to manage that with your own immune system, and you would be able to assimilate the nutrients that you did consume in a way till your body could utilize them. And now, as we're many, many years since those two fellows kind of debated it out in the world, we're now starting to see in the holistic health movement where people are getting back into supporting themselves with lots of good probiotic strains to get this balance back in order because of antibiotics and bacteriology that's really hammered us.
Exactly. And I find it very interesting. I grew up in Ukraine, and just the, playing in the dirt and scraping and falling, like different, just ingesting dirty, whatever, not dirty, but let's say not washed, fruits and veggies. It was not a big deal, but this is what develops your immune system. You know what I mean? This is you, you putting all these different foreign substances so your body knows how to battle it. And when some other foreign folks come in, and it knows how to handle it. Well, in US, I find that crazy, like overwhelming, was all the antibacterial stuff.
What was it?
I don't know.
Wait, there's a little dance party real quick.
There's a dance party that depends on.
Nice. Taking a break.
The bacteria was dancing to you. I'm fully agree with you.
Yeah, but yeah. It's true. We also just had an experience, and I recommend that everyone do a gut biome test to see where their status is within their gut, because we were completely asymptomatic. We did a gut biome test, and we found a pretty gnarly bacteria
Which we think actually came from our trip to Asia, as Larry's parents also had it. So it's you know, just exactly what you were talking before. You go, you know, you go travel and your body doesn't know what to do with it. And all these opportunity guys are just jump on it, create havoc.
Yeah, and bacteria is an extraordinarily, it's an extraordinary, they're extraordinary species. If you study them, I mean, they're so adaptive to conditions that they really just do amazing things. They're so adaptive. And when you get to a different environment, some of these are going to, you know, be support and proactive and take control of your body.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Should we? I believe we haven't touched M and E as part of the awesome formula.
Right.
Let's continue on that.
Okay, we'll get those out of the way, and then we'll kind of come back to this topic because I could go on about it forever. But M and E. So M stands for mental beliefs and attitudes. It's kind of like your MBA. And what I've found is if you have the best diet possible but a lousy attitude or poor belief, chances are you're going to end up sick a lot. And ultimately, if you have a great attitude and some strong beliefs about your life, I find that people tend to have a more robust health. So I think incorporating information and taking a diet of information that supports positive and life-enhancing beliefs and attitudes really, really help people in their quest for health and wellness. And I have noticed that as people get healthier, their beliefs and attitude shifts. And also, for people that have struggled, they have to recognize that a lot of their beliefs and attitudes about what's possible for them are influencing where they spend their money, where they spend their time, if they believe that health is possible for them. So oftentimes they need to go and address those issues first before they even get to their nutrition program. And ultimately, to express health at the highest levels, you do need to adjust one's beliefs and attitudes. And I always found that mine's in a constant state of evolution. Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking to improve or expand mm-hmm. My beliefs and attitudes in a way that supports my life and those people around me.
Yeah. Exactly. Live, learn, and evolve.
Yeah, it's important to stay open. And on the topic of mental health, I think a lot of disease actually follows our thought patterns and the blocks that come with those thought patterns. So you're either, you know, living in abundance and joy, or you're living in a state of fight or flight. And if you're in a state of fight or flight, there's no repair going on. And a lot of those thoughts affect those cells directly, as epigenetics has shown. So a lot of the diseases and things that are coming in, especially a lot of cancers, are coming from emotional imbalances that come from, you know, mindset.
Absolutely. And I constantly work on this one because, you know, being vigilant about what's coming into your life on your beliefs and attitudes is important. And like you said, staying open and flexible. When I first started out in the nutrition and exercise industry, I thought I knew everything after a little while. And then a little while, I started to realize, well, there's a lot I didn't know. And then pretty soon, I was like, actually, there's a whole lot I don't know. And now it's kind of like, well, I don't know that much. We could just apply what we think is our best thing and based on experience and, you know, cross-section of data. But staying open to the next thing, because technology is accelerating. I think it's the best time to be on the planet. I think it's the greatest time to experience health and vitality, and our accessibility to all these things has never been so great. So I think it's a great time to be on the planet doing, you know, things like this podcast. I mean, the fact that we can access world-class information that you guys have dedicated your life to with a touch of a button, I mean, is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah. It is definitely one awesome and exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, and so that leads us to the last one, the E part, which I call etc. And etc. means education, testing, and coping, coaching. Education, from my standpoint, is to learn from within, to take the information that life has presented to you and to internalize it and recognize, well, what is the universe trying to teach me? What am I learning? Education, of course, comes from the root word educe, to learn from within. So I believe in trusting one's own intuitive guidance and really going with that when you get exposed to information is great, but also to correlate that with some testing Get real live testing. You know, testing can be as simple as testing yourself if I can walk up the stairs or not, or if I can walk a mile or not, or it could be, like you said, doing a biome test. It could be doing a live blood cell analysis. It could be doing a hair analysis or, you know, a neural feedback. There's all these different variety of tests that you can use to measure where you're at and where you want to go. Because without measurement, it's hard to tell if you're really producing a result or not. And then finally is the coaching aspect, ultimately where I was able to accelerate my own health, vitality, and life-enhancing abilities was when I got a coach. I found someone who was producing the result that I wanted, and then I hired them to teach me what they were learning, or to teach me how to overcome my limitations, whether it be belief-wise, whether it be nutrition-wise, whether it be just in my lifestyle choices, or what, how effective I was actually doing something, was there something I could be doing better or improving? And that coaching relationship is a really beautiful one, because what I found, it is such a pure, the coach's job is simply to get the best out of you possible and to see your potential clearly and help you remove the obstacles to expressing that. And to me, that's a wonderful experience, and I'm happy to be a coach and I'm happy to be coached.
Exactly. I love that. I mean, that is the one awesome formula to live by.
Thanks.
One thing, you know what I would add? Sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess we can squeeze in where the ass is.
Yeah, we could put it, we could put awesomes.
Awesomes. There you have it.
But you know, some people say this sunlight, sleep, surf, and spirituality could go under S, so it could be a variety of categories.
Yeah, and it's up to your own interpretation.
Up to your own interpretation.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, so let's come back to enzymes and probiotics. I know your work focuses a lot around these supplements because of the importance and weight that you put on them. So you developed an enzyme and a probiotic, and I'm just curious as to what led you to do that.
Well, interesting enough, you know, going back to my physical meltdown, and then I started utilizing an enzyme and probiotic formulation that was built for people who were sick. And so I started doing that, and I produced great results, and I switched to a raw food diet and that sort of thing. But what I found is that I was a very athletic person. And although my health improved and although my profiles improved, I found it was very difficult for me to maintain my metabolism, muscle mass, these type of things, lean body mass. So I started looking at the various enzyme formulations and kind of developing one that was based on the high performer. And so coming from the physique world, if you will, you know, because, you know, we're so cosmetically oriented nowadays to look a certain way. And of course, I was motivated, especially at that time. I was like, well, what's going to give me the best profile so that I can look, not only just feel my best, but look my best. And that's when I got looking at developing a formulation that handled all of the major enzymatic functions, you know, being amylase, lipase, and protease. Those are the big ones. Amylase digests carbohydrates, lipase digests fats, and protease digests protein. And then developing a formulation that really broke that down. And my research led me to believe that protease was the big one, the one that was the missing ingredient in a lot of even the high quality products. So I went out and got a team of research to help me formulate a product that would allow us to have a highly effective protease formulation that was utilizable at all levels of pH in the digestive system, that was combined in a way that was utilizable and maintainable inside the body, and that also I was able to cleave the key amino acids in the body at the various pH levels of digestion. So in order to do that, it required a protease 3.0, a protease 4.5, and a protease 6.0, and then combine them in a way that works synergistically together along with the other essential enzymes for digestion and assimilation. And that's where we came up with that product. And it first started out, it became a real rage in the strength and fitness communities. That's what it was originally designed for. But the next thing you know, it became the rage among women who had gone through pregnancy and, you know, either second or third time especially, where they noticed that they weren't able to get back to their fitness levels or their pre-baby weights what I found is I felt that there was a depletion of their proteolytic enzymes inside the body. And when they went on our enzyme blend, they started to notice that their bodies were rebounding much faster. They didn't suffer from that kind of postpartum depression, these type of things. So that was a really interesting side note that I didn't anticipate. And then also for people that were suffering from depression and emotionality, a lot of those are related to digestion and assimilation of amino acids or undigested proteins in the blood, mm-hmm. then that our formulation worked really well for that.
Amazing.
And I love it. It's like our body is such an amazing healing system. But taking into consideration all the stress and all the environmental factors that we have to deal with, we have to support the body and give it whatever the tools that it requires to keep doing what it does best, right?
Absolutely.
To heal itself and work better as it has our best interest in mind.
What are some of the symptoms of enzyme deficiency?
Well, first and foremost, most people will start to notice trouble digesting their food. Maybe that bloated feeling or that feeling of the food sitting in the stomach. Mm-hmm. Usually they'll also experience challenges with elimination, constipation. I know it's really prevalent with a lot of women. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's the first clue. Other thing will be cause wrinkles and degeneration of skin tissue. That usually means that you're converting muscle mass into enzymes. And so what the body produces, its own enzymes. However, where does it produce them from? Well, enzymes are protein, they're amino acid formations that create that. And if you look at all the scientific data, we lose approximately 1% of our muscle mass per year as adults, unless you're, you know, offsetting that with training. So what I recognize is, I bet you that's where the protein from the muscle tissue, smooth muscle and striated muscle, is being consumed or catabolized by the body to produce all these enzymes. So if I started supporting the body with enzymes, I would notice that my lean body tissue would stay at a high level. And also I noticed that the aging process seemed to slow down because you didn't have this degeneration of the skin in the body. So that was a factor. The other thing is that depression and skin conditions are also ones I found very correlative to enzymes. And now there's a lot of research in orthomolecular psychiatry, which is the treatment of psychological conditions with nutrition, that I think it's a third of the kids out there today don't have the right enzymes or amino acid access to make a third of the happy hormones, if you will, for your brain or neurochemicals. So, and you know, we put people on enzymes and they come back and they say, wait, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel good. Mm.
Yeah, and you want to always have the right type and right form and right source, right? There's so many different enzyme supplements out there as well as probiotics. So knowing, you know, stop wasting your money basically, right? And make sure you know what are you getting and you know that this is what's going to be utilized by your body. Can you talk a little bit about your probiotics as well? Like, what's the difference between your probiotics and, you know, other ones that are on the market?
Oh, that's a great question, and thank you for asking. First and foremost, most of the probiotic formulations that you'll see on the market today are versions of implant strains. So I categorize probiotics into two strains. There's implant strains, strains that will take hold and colonize inside the digestive system and be part of that 10-80-10 group. And then there's what's called transient strains, and that's strains that will actually funnel through a variety parts of the body and go through the blood system or into all the other tissues that interact with your variety of conditions in the body. So I thought that there was relatively a lot of fairly good probiotic, multi-strain probiotics, but I wanted something that was able to radically alter the terrain of the body in a very fast way. And we were able to get a patented probiotic strain. And what it does is, everybody's heard of super bacteria inside of hospitals that have become resistant to drugs and that sort of thing, and mm-hmm. you know, MRSA and that sort of stuff. Well, I wanted a super probiotic, a probiotic that was enhanced. And there's a team of research that was able to take a particular probiotic and enhance it in a way that turned it into a super bacteria that doubled every 20 minutes in the body. It was a proteolytic probiotic, and that means it digested protein inside the body. So undigested proteins is the biggest source of toxicity in the body, crystallization under the blood, all that sort of stuff. And it also, undigested protein feeds the bad bacteria in your body. They use that and produce like indole, skatol, all kinds of neurotoxins. So if we could get a probiotic that would, number one, eat up all the protein, and number one, beat up all the other bad guys, that would be great. And we were able to develop it. We call it P3OM. It's a powerful proteolytic probiotic, and it's a transient strain that goes through the entire system. And if you look at the patent details, I'm not going to state the patent details on your podcast. I don't want to get myself in some kind of medical trouble or whatever, but it's pretty extraordinary what they were able to do with animals and its effect of digesting protein. Of course, a virus, for example, uses a protein coating to interact with the cell and create RNA and DNA. A tumor has a protein coating that protects the nerve, so the immune system can't see it. It disguises itself in a protein coating. And so if you have a proteolytic probiotic that goes through the body and is able to eat up these things, you can imagine what your body is able to do to enhance its immune system and function and to really clean up your blood. And again, I refer to the U.S. patent on it, and what we're able to demonstrate in the studies upon it was pretty extraordinary. And I utilize that every night. And unlike an implant strain, we find for best effects, we take it before bed. So you take it before bed, and that way, while you're sleeping, it's literally like the cleanup crew that goes through the entire system, mops up any toxins, chemicals, undigested proteins inside the body. And we also advocate going through a 90-day period of really getting this inside your system, so you build up enough volume that you're able to build up what I call super immunity and super digestive function. And it's been very effective.
And then do you recommend taking some time off after those 90 days, or?
Yeah, one of the things that we do is we suggest that after the 90 days that the person adjusts the dosage basically by their intuitive response. So a lot of people at the end of the 90 days will go back to, say, an implant strain and alternate an implant strain with a transient strain 1 month on one month on the other. Some people stay on our strain. Some people go back and just stay on an implant strain after, and then periodically we'll just do a massive dosage of the P3OM. So it kind of comes down to individual preference. Also, your diet and lifestyle, stress levels. If a person gets wiped out on a stress level, like you're almost in a car accident, or a family member got in a serious situation, probiotic support probably needs to be amped up, because that alters the bacteria in your body significantly. Or traveling. Traveling is another one. I always double down on my probiotic usage when I travel.
Yeah. Sorry, that's for sure. What about, you said, so probiotics, the best is to take at night. What about enzymes? Are you taking it with every meal?
Yeah, so I take the enzymes with every meal just before. Either if I'm making a smoothie, I'll mix the enzymes into the smoothie, because it'll actually pre-digest the food. So that's been wonderful. Number one, it makes the food taste better. It also changed the consistency significantly. We actually put some videos out there of digesting oatmeal in a couple minutes, or digesting steak. We use our enzyme and probiotic combo. So, I mean, you know, what we've done here is we created something that's very aggressive and very powerful. And what it does, if you can pre-digest your food, that means your body's not going to use its own enzymatic resources. The other thing that we do is we do take them on an empty stomach. So before I work out, I take a bunch of the enzymes before a workout. And also, if I want to increase fat synthesis inside the body or metabolism, I take them on an empty stomach as well, maybe a couple times a day. And that seems to produce an energetic effect inside the body, where your metabolism speeds up.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
So what's the name of the brand?
Okay. The brand of our company is called Bioptimizers, B-I-O, or Optimizers, if you get it, B-I Optimizers.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll set up a link that goes to bewellbuzz.com/Bioptimizers. Below this podcast audio, you'll see links to the products as well for those of you that are interested in supercharging your health. You could go there
and have an awesome life, huh?
Yeah.
You got it.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Wei, for sharing such an amazing amount of information that not only, you know, expand our knowledge on how our body works and what is the best for us to do to live a healthy, long life, but also giving us actionable steps and as well as amazing supplements that people can utilize.
Yeah, and guys, most of this information, most of the action steps are free. Air, water, mindset, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been really a delight to be here on the show with you guys. And thank you so much for contributing to the knowledge factor. I mean, your site is incredible and the information you provide is really great. And if people even apply a tenth of it, they would have extraordinary health.
Yeah. Thank you, Wade. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, make sure everyone to like, share this information far and wide, so we can up the health levels of all the people around us that we love and care for. So share, like, email it to your friends and family, and let's make this world a much healthier place.
And be awesome. Thank you, Wade.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Go to www.bewellbuzz.com for more natural health information and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. Don't forget to share this podcast with your family and friends. Stay tuned for more from Be Well Buzz.